Hey, good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. 741 out there, 1 degree outside. So, and we're up to 1 degree. All right, let's go ahead and get to our phone as we have our guest on this morning, and it is Representative Jim Kelly joining us on the line this morning. And sir, good morning. How are you doing today? Let's try that again. All right, sir, are you still there? Okay, so for some reason cannot hear Jim Kelly. Let's try to punch him up again. Sir, are you there? Okay, for whatever reason, I have everything punched up but cannot hear Representative Kelly. He was on just a second ago, but not here now. So, yes. Oh, sir, yes, I can hear you now, sir. Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good.
All right. I couldn't hear you there for a second. All right. So, again, I hope you're being safe up there. I know Topeka got a lot more snow than we did down here. We got quite a bit down here, but definitely been I know you guys have had quite a bit of snow up there. So I hope you are being safe up there at the Capitol. I know it's been pretty eventful up there also as well the past couple of days. And one of the big things that you guys have been talking about is obviously the unemployment insurance, the fraud issue, and there's lots of moving parts about this going on right now, correct?
Correct. There are lots of moving parts, and the fraud has been a big issue, and a lot of people beginning to get 1099s, or they have, for claims that they did not file, and it's very difficult to correct and very difficult to get a hold of anyone in the Department of Labor to help you.
Absolutely, and I don't know, you know, one of those things with the 1099s, I guess if you get one in the mail, do you just turn it back saying I did not receive this, or do you obviously you don't want to just discard it and then not respond to it? Is it just something where you would just respond to the state, say, hey, I did not file for this, and then I guess get a hold of them that way?
Well, it'd be nice if it was that easy, but it's not. There is a place on the Department of Labor's website for fraud reporting, and you have to go in and report that you had fraud against you on the unemployment, and then you have to go and go out to the Federal Trade Commission website and report it there. You need to put fraud reports on your credit bureau reports, and then there is also a affidavit that you have to file that says that you did not receive this. And then after you do these things, you're supposed to get a 1099, a replacement 1099 that says zero, and they are supposed to get rid of the one that went to the IRS. Now, whether that works or not, I don't know. And the people that have questions are having a very difficult time getting into the Department of Labor to find out about them if they have received these fraudulent claims. Even if they filled out all the reports, some people still are told that they have payments being issued in their name to someone else. And so that's probably the frustrating part for people. But there is a procedure. It's outlines it on the website. I can testify to it because I had a fraudulent claim filed against me. And went through and reported it. I did not receive a 1099, though. Unfortunately, I think the warning was out to the Department of Labor and also to the governor's office that fraud was becoming a big issue back months and months ago, but the software to capture the fraud was not put in until a few weeks ago. And then the first week, I think they stopped over 1 million fraudulent claim tries. So you can imagine how many must have gotten through and why all of these 1099s were issued, even though they had indicated they were going to try to stop all of the ones for people that had gone through the reporting process. But it may have happened in some instances, but not in a lot. And so, of course, that's the big frustrating part. And then the other part is all the people that still have unemployment claims pending are also backed up and can't get into anyone. Nor can we when we get a call in our office to try to help them. I mean, the response that I got back was that they established about 10 days ago a special call list team was put in place for legislators to report constituents that have issues. And so we've been turning in, we even went back and turned in old ones. And the reply that I got was all call lists are backed up 2 weeks right now due to the high volume. Take what you are getting and multiply it by 165, which is the number of senators and representatives in the state, plus the federal delegation and the governor's office. I'm trying to get more resources to help out. So people, I know when they call in and think that we can cut through all of the red tape, we're not able to either. And that's the reason that this new call list with more operators on is already backed up 2 weeks. And so it is truly an unpleasant situation or more for a number of those in Kansas that are looking for and depending on this unemployment compensation.
It's definitely frustrating when you're needing that unemployment to basically kind of keep yourself afloat. It's also frustrating if you do have a job and all of a sudden somebody you get a 1099 saying you were unemployed, you filed for unemployment insurance. It's frustrating because it's like somebody's basically it's almost like identity theft is what it is. And it's frustrating because you're doing your job working hard and all of a sudden this comes about. And it just sounds like there's a lot of steps you have to go through to say, hey, I did not file this.
Yeah. And the other unfortunate thing is that the employer you work for, their unemployment account is being charged for those payments.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is a bill that's working its way through the House to try to make it where school districts, and there's a school district in Topeka that was sent a bill by the department for over $700,000 that they needed to pay in to replenish their account. And all of those were fraudulent claims. So the employer has the same thing happening to them because they pay into the unemployment insurance fund, and all of these are coming out of their account with the unemployment insurance fund. The employee does not pay into the unemployment, only the employer. So they are getting hit too, and the money, wherever it went to, is still coming out of their account. So it's a mess.
Yeah, it's that's a huge mess. Just again, like I was saying, lots of moving parts of this, lots of people being affected by this, people and businesses being affected by this. And I know there that at some point, we read a story yesterday where basically, I guess the legislature is going to try to, I guess, wrangle control of it, try to wrangle control of it from Governor Kelly, because again, it just seems like it's out of control right now, and it doesn't seem like it's getting better right now.
Yeah, and the governor is in charge of the agency, and she appoints the secretary, and there's been a few. One other issue that, you know, there's, it's called Pandemic Emergency Unemployment, PEUC. Some states have started paying that out. Kansas, and there's individuals that call and wonder where their PEUC payments are. The answer that I found out to that is that Kansas will not, has not started to pay it out yet, and it is supposed to be at beginning no later than today. So we'll have to see. So people have been hung up on that really back for weeks. That's an extra 13 weeks of unemployment after the regular unemployment ran out in December. And so it's supposed to start today. We'll have to see whether it does, but I'm sure there'll be huge backups on that also. So I know a number of people calling want to know why they're not receiving their payments, and that's the reason. It has not started out. Its initial kickoff is supposed to be today.
All right. So, again, lots of moving parts on that, but there are some other, there's some good news that was coming out of one of the committees you're a part of. A couple of acts, and also, and one of them is the first time home buyer act that you guys have been working on.
Yeah. That came out, actually passed the hack, came out of my committee, which is Financial Institutions and Rural Development. And it passed the House yesterday, and it will be on the way to the Senate. And that is a bill that would allow individuals starting in actually July of 22, so not immediately, but it's much like a 529 college savings plan. They will be able to have an account opened at a bank where they can put in money to save for towards a home purchase or construction, and they can put in up to $3,000 per individual, $6,000 for a married couple, and you can also have like grandparents or parents help establish account also for you as the beneficiary. And so you can actually work up to a maximum of about $50,000 in these accounts. And the rules and all will come out over the period between now and July 1 of next year. But the good thing on this is that the money that you put in, there is a tax deduction for you or for whoever contributed to it for you, and the earnings on it are not taxable either. So it's a way to put back some money, get a tax deduction, and be able to, as a first-time home buyer, go in and help pay some of the expenses of buying a home or constructing a home. So good for really all of those that would like to do that, but it's been difficult to save. Now someone will have an incentive maybe to also assist you because they can get a tax deduction on their contribution to it.
So good. Good stuff there. That's a great one. And again, it passed the House yesterday, and it's heading to the Senate now. And hopefully it'll get approved there, and then it will go to the governor for her to sign or veto either way. But we'll find out where that goes. And also another
thing. I think that one will go well.
Yeah, I think it will too. It sounds like it's just going to – it helps everybody on that one. And also the other thing that came out of one of your committees on is the Economic Recovery Act. Lots of parts to this as well.
Right. There are a lot of parts to it. And I mean, the biggest part that program allows for the use, the state has a fund that's called the Pooled Money Fund. It's idle funds in there. And there was an existing program on ag lending that was little used in the amount of $60 million. And this program is being repurposed be able to provide help to Kansas businesses and ag use and ag farmers and ranchers in a lower interest rate loans, maximum loan amount $250,000. The financial institution assumes the risk, so the money, if it's not paid back, the financial institution has to put back the money in the pooled money account with the state treasurer's office. And the housing loans are aimed at rural Kansas, communities under, well, not necessarily communities. It could be a township or whatever with under 2,500 people. They would qualify for this loan. In the ag areas, it's any place in the state where there's ag. That is also up to a $250,000 loan. The interest rates will be reduced, and it's figured that each year, if the program would be fully utilized, that the total of all borrowers that took advantage of it would save them about a total of $10 million a year. So, and the state will also be paid at least the interest that they're receiving now on the funds that are put out in this program. So it's kind of a win-win for both sides. The other part of this is that credit unions, which also participate, they will be able to expand their field of membership now to cover almost the entire state of Kansas. Credit unions could have up to 2.5 million members. So it gives them some expanded territory that they've been wanting. It gives banks the ability to loan at a lower rate, which they have not been able to do before because of being a taxed institution versus nonprofits, which would be like the credit unions. So they're on an equal footing there on these programs. And so it's going to be able to open up this lower interest rate to all across, in one case, all across the state in rural areas for housing, and all across the state for ag lending to no necessary population requirements, because the ag land is all outside of incorporated areas.
Right, sir. We're out of time right now. We have we're out of time right now. But I thank you so much for coming on today. We really do appreciate it.
Okay. Well, thanks very much, and stay warm.